He constrained them. He compelled them. He urged them. You know what that tells me? It tells me they didn't want to go. Can you just hear it? Where are we going, Jesus? Just follow me. Yeah, where are we going? Going to the lake. Okay, well, here we are. Now what? Get in the boat. Will you come in? Nope, you get in the boat. We don't want to get in the boat. You just pulled off like the coolest trick ever. You fed 15,000 people. We're sticking to you like glue. Get in the boat. Get in that boat.
Welcome to Connect with Skip Weekend Edition. Storms are bound to come, and occasionally they'll come under the just right circumstances to be something truly powerful and overwhelming, a perfect storm. However, there are a few things we can do to help us be better prepared for and even benefit from those events in our lives. Well, today in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, find out what every storm goer needs to know. But first, let's see what's going on in the Connect with Skip Resource Center this month.
We have an exciting resource to help strengthen your marriage so it can thrive no matter what your circumstances. It's the Marriage Devotional, 52 Days to Strengthen the Soul of Your Marriage by Levi and Jenny Lusco. And we'd love to send you a copy as thanks for your gift this month to grow the ministry of Connect with Skip.
How do you figure out what's going on underneath your marriage? You ask about it. So when was the last time you've checked in with your spouse? And a little pro tip, Jenny and I, our marriage counselor, for what it's worth, she told us to never, ever, ever do the check-in during date night. And this has been revolutionary for us. We used to just literally have a fight every single date night because that was our check-in. One of us would be dumb enough over appetizers to go, well, what's going on in your house? Which is usually code for, please tell me the five things I'm doing wrong this week. You know what I'm saying? And so now, like, I'm pushing the cauliflower away because I'm like feeling hot and angry. And, you know, and then we get in this big fight. It was like, she goes, oh gosh, you're doing it wrong. Date night's joy. Date night's fun. Just keep it light. Put a pin in stuff that's going to give you stress on the date night, but you got to have the check-in too.
Great marriages are made, not born. And this devotional journey will be the encouragement your marriage, not just any marriage, needs to flourish.
So we cling. We cling to God. We cling to our spouse. We cling to the local church because we're vines. And we want our marriage to be like a fruitful vine in the heart of our house.
In the Marriage Devotional, 52 Days to Strengthen the Soul of Your Marriage, Levi and Jenny will point you to God's Word and help you experience a depth and beauty you may have never thought possible. We'll send you a copy of this powerful resource as thanks for your gift to expand Connect with Skip Heitzig to reach more people in major U.S. cities. Yours for a donation of $50 or more. Just call 800-922-1888 or visit connectwithskip.com/offer. That's connectwithskip.com/offer.
We'll start in verse 15 of John chapter 6 today. So turn there in your Bible, and Skip Heitzig gets us started with an example of how adversity can cause some people to excel.
Well, adversity causes some people to break, and it causes other people to break records. It's as if they go right into the face of adversity on purpose. There's one 16-year-old girl who did that recently. You know her name, Abby Sunderland, if you've been watching the news or reading the papers. A 16-year-old girl from Southern California, from Thousand Oaks, grew up with her family sailing, grew up in a Christian home, and she had a dream. She wanted to be the youngest person to circumnavigate the world in her 40-foot sailboat. Well, what happened to her dream? A storm happened to her dream. A violent winter storm in the Indian Ocean that happens this time of the year in the Southern Hemisphere. And somewhere between Africa and Australia, she faced a storm like she had never faced before. 70-mile-an-hour winds, waves the size of 3-story buildings. Tossed that little boat around and she had to be rescued. Her father, in the midst of this, and I know a lot of people were saying, how can a parent allow their child to have a boat ride like that? I wonder how parents can let their children drive at 16, but that's a whole nother story. They were saying through the whole thing, the whole episode, her father was saying, I know that God is in charge. I know that God is in charge. I don't know if you've ever been out on a lake or on the ocean when a storm hits, but it can be very disorienting. My first experience as a child, my dad loved to fish, and he said, let's go deep sea fishing. So we went out of Newport Beach on a little boat, and what I was totally unexpecting was something called seasickness. And I was so unprepared. I was such a landlubber, and it was not a great experience. The second time I was out to sea was crossing the English Channel, going from England to France, and a storm came up. I was prepared. I had Dramamine. I took it before, and I was fine. But there were on board some very prim and proper and well-dressed English men and women, and it was just hilarious to watch them with their heads over the deck feeding the fish as we went from one side to the other. It was great. The third experience that I had, some of you were with me when we took a cruise to Alaska some years ago. Going through the inland passage, a sudden and unexpected storm came and tossed that ship, that big cruise vessel, like it was a little toy boat. And I remember the sound of the metal stretching. You hear it go, and then back again all night. Well, it happened to be the night when you dress up and you go to a special dinner. And that night it was lobster dinner. But because of the storm, half of the people didn't go to dinner. So those of us who did go to dinner had the lion's share of the lobster. We're about to read of a storm in this chapter that experienced fishermen encountered. They've been on that lake all their lives. They face a lot of storms, but nothing like this. This was different than everything they had ever faced. The story for us picks up in verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. And then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." And then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. We just read about a literal storm. There is a spiritual corollary, and I want to talk about the storms of life. After all, this wasn't just a storm for these guys, it was a trial for them as well. So whether you call it a trial or a hardship or adversity or whatever, a storm, everyone in this room knows what that is. Everyone here knows what it's like to have winds of adversity blow. Everybody here knows what it's like to have waves of worry rise up. Everybody here knows what it's like to experience the darkness of isolation and the fear that comes with that, just like these disciples experienced. We all have storms. James called them various trials. Remember that, James chapter 1? You know what he said about them? He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Yeah, right. Like, who does that? Count it all joy. And he said, when you fall into various trials. You see, trials are different. Some are big, some are small, some are physical, some are emotional or spiritual, some are brief, some are enduring and long, lasting weeks or months or even years. I believe we can navigate those storms and do a good job of it. I believe we can have peace in the midst of them. But in order for that to happen, there's some things we all need to know. That's why I've called this message, What Storm Goers Need to Know. So I'm going to give you 4 things that I believe emerge from the text, this text and another text. In fact, why don't we do that right now? Keep a marker here and turn to Mark chapter 6, or at least put a marker. That's right, Mark chapter 6. Because it is the same story told in Mark's words, and even as John puts in some details that Mark leaves out, Mark puts in some details that John leaves out. So John 6 and Mark chapter 6. Here's the first principle. In a storm, weather is unpredictable. These disciples had no clue what was about to happen. Now, I want you to see something. Go back one verse with me for the sake of context in John chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Then those men, that is all of the folks that were fed miraculously, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. For these disciples, this was completely unexpected, the boat ride. And here's why. They were on a spiritual high. They had just seen the feeding of 15,000 people miraculously. There was such momentum building. I think I'm accurate when I say that Jesus' approval ratings were at their highest, their peak. People were so jazzed and thrilled, they wanted to make Jesus their king. It says something in verse 15. Did you notice it? It says Jesus departed again to the mountain. That is, he went back up the mountain. Well, you can't go back up the mountain unless you go down the mountain. So here he was up on the mountain, fed everybody, and now he walks down the mountain before he goes back up. Why does he walk down the mountain? For two reasons: to get rid of the crowds or to get away from the crowd, because they have a political agenda he doesn't want to be a part of. And number two, to walk his disciples down into the Sea of Galilee or to a boat there and shove them off so that he can be alone with his Father. So he puts them in a boat. And look at verse 18. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. You see that word arose? I discovered it's a Greek word that means to arouse somebody from their sleep. It's a sudden awaking. You know what that's like when you wake up in the morning? Have you ever seen somebody just sort of get aroused from a deep sleep? And you say like crazy things and do weird things. I have a friend, true story, he's a pastor. His wife was aroused from sleep. She punched him right in the mouth and he fell right out of bed. That was a storm. The waves woke up. The sea woke up. It was from out of nowhere. It was sudden and unexpected. And in life, haven't you noticed that the weather changes quite unexpectedly? Have you noticed that you make plans, you set an agenda, got it all planned out, and then something happens. A circumstance just sort of blows a whole different direction. You hadn't planned this. You remember Paul the Apostle? He planned to go to Rome. He even wrote that. He goes, "I am planning to come and see you in Rome." What he didn't plan on is getting arrested in Jerusalem. What he didn't plan on is becoming a prisoner for 2 years. And though he went to Rome, he didn't plan on getting there in a grain ship from Egypt as a prisoner on the way to Rome. His plans changed. Now, as the boat left harbor, and it was a nice, sunny, beautiful day, something happened in the midst of that boat ride. A storm came. Acts 27 tells us, "But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength caught the ship and blew it out to sea." I think of another example, a man named Job in the Old Testament. Man, life was great. It's great. Everything was happening as planned. He had his children around him. He had his health. He had prosperity. He prayed for his children. He loved his God. And then one day, everything changed. All of his children died in a single day. And one of the messengers came and said, "Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the desert and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all of your children are dead." About a year ago, my wife went in for a routine checkup. It was routine. That is, until the doctor found a mass and said, "I want you to clear your decks for the next several months. Things are going to change. We need to get at that, and we need to get at it now. Surgery was scheduled. It was successful, but the doctor came out and said it was malignant. It's going to require chemotherapy. Looking back on that, you know, here we were. Everything is just sailing along until you hear that news, and then suddenly, abruptly, the wind changes. You go in a totally different direction. I describe it like having your tickets in hand and going down to a bus station or a train station. You've got your itinerary, it's in your hand. You've got your tickets, they're in your hand. You get down to the bus station or train station, and somebody meets you there and says, I have different tickets for you. You're not going where you think you're going. You're going to get on that train, not that train. And so you get on the train with these new tickets. You have really no idea what this is about, but you ride that train, and you don't get off of it for about a year. Some for longer. Some never get off that train. I'm bringing all that to your attention or reminder simply to say that this is not unusual. In fact, this is typical. This is normal life. There's an old Jewish proverb that goes like this, quite simple. Man makes plans and God changes them. Jesus put it this way. The Father causes his Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Message is simple. Whether you're saved or not, whether you're righteous or unrighteous, whether you're good or wicked, you enjoy good times and bad times, sun mixed with rain. And even if you're a child of God, the weather can change suddenly and abruptly. Even Paul the Apostle spoke of hardships that he and his team encountered. He writes to the Corinthians, "We suffered under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life." Boy, I'm glad he wrote that. Because now when I encounter people who say shyly, "Pastor, I'm so embarrassed. It's been so difficult for me lately. I've despaired of life." I can say, "You're not alone. You're in Paul's camp." Paul even despaired of life. Paul didn't think he was going to make it. That's normal life. I read something in Reader's Digest that said, "Expecting not to be treated badly just because you're a good person is like expecting an angry bull not to attack you just because you're a vegetarian." Don't you love that? That angry bull doesn't share your dietary convictions. And so weather is unpredictable, and the disciples are about to find out he's not just the God of the free lunch on the hill. He's the God of the storm. So that's number one. Weather is unpredictable. Look at verse 16. "Now when the evening came, his disciples went down into the sea." That is, they got into the boat, into the sea, and they set sail. Question. Why did they get into the boat to begin with? Was it their idea? It wasn't their idea. In fact, I'm sure they did not want to get in that boat. You know why they went in there? Jesus made them get in the boat. And this is the second lesson. In life, God's the captain. You're just the crew. So if you have this Invictus kind of ideology that says, "I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul," good luck on that one. When you come to Christ, you give him the pink slip to your life, the keys. He's in charge. I go back to chapter 6 of Mark. I had you put a marker there. Let's look at it. Now, you'll see this. Mark chapter 6, and go to verse 45 of Mark chapter 6. It says, "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray." You see that? He made them do it. The old King James is even stronger. He constrained them. He compelled them. He urged them. You know what that tells me? It tells me they didn't want to go. Can you just hear it? Where are we going, Jesus? Just follow me. Yo, where are we going? Going to the lake. Okay, well, here we are. Now what? Get in the boat. Well, you coming? Nope, you get in the boat. Oh, we don't want to get in the boat. You just pulled off like the coolest trick ever. You fed 15,000 people. We're sticking to you like glue. Get in the boat. Get in that boat. He constrained them. He compelled them. He urged them, and he sent them away. He made them go. You know why? Because he's the captain.
Well, the fact that we'll encounter more than our fair share of storms in life shouldn't be all that surprising. We'll probably even have a few perfect storms in our life that may seem completely overwhelming. But when we remember who our God is and who's ultimately in control of not only the storm, but of seeing us through it, we can have more confidence and less fear in the face of the hurricanes of life. We'll discuss that more next time. But for right now, here's Skip and Lenya with a final thought today.
Trials come in all shapes and sizes. I think James says that they various trials.
Manifold.
Manifold, which means multicolored.
Mm-hmm. Variegated.
Did you know that?
I did.
So I think there are a rainbow of trials for you. Like some can make you blue, maybe green with envy, red hot. So anyway, they come in all shapes and sizes, small or big, brief and sometimes really
long.
Enduring.
Yep. And think of chronic illnesses that people have.
Right. And I don't know why, but trials catch us off guard. It says that we should expect them, but we don't.
They take the wind right out of our sails, don't they?
It is true.
It's like getting sucker punched by somebody, if you've ever had that happen. I have.
I think trials are common to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, how can we prepare our lives for the inevitable?
Good question. I like to read biographies about people who've endured. Any Christian biography is going to have sections on the trials they've had and what they've grown through. Job is a good place to start. He's a biblical hero. He lost a lot of stuff, and he made a statement that would be a good working statement of faith in trials. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away.
Blessed.
So knowing that God is sovereign and he retains that right, therefore, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord, and
Amen.
Did not sin or charge God foolishly. I think we need to remember, and I'll put myself in the category if it takes the wind out of my sails, but God has the editing rights to the script of our lives. You can plan it. You can write it any way you want to and pray about it and move forward, but God can cut and paste anytime he wants.
Beautiful. You and I had the privilege when we were in Holland to visit the home of Corrie ten Boom. And I remember a story, maybe you can help me. It was about a tapestry, and they hung it in Corrie ten Boom's house. And on one side of the tapestry, it just looks like threads and knots and strings.
Right.
But when you turn it around,
it's beautiful. It's intricate. It's lovely.
And yeah. Sometimes we look at trials from the backside of the tapestry, and we just see some of the colors that don't make sense, but I think when we flip around for what God's really weaving into our lives.
It reminds me of a saying somebody once said, God's ways are behind the scenes, but he directs all the ways and scenes he is behind. So that, again, plays right into his sovereign care and love and knowing what we need.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And as we wrap things up, if you'd like a copy of today's study, it's available for just $4 plus shipping. And you can order online or when you call us. And that's 1-800-922-1888. We'll talk more about how we can be better prepared for the storms of life. So I hope you'll have time to join us right here in Connect with Skip Weekend Edition, a presentation of Connection Communications.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on his word. Make a connection. A connection. A connection.
Connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.